The NFL, in different cases, they have suspended guys right away when, you know, they're accused of something, and another player is accused of something. That, of course, is Antonio Brown. Now, his agent went on the offensive today, saying, "Hey, we feel very confident that we can prove this is just a cash grab." Whatever. What do you make of the NFL's approach, and has it changed from the minute someone's charged that they suspend them, or are they going to wait now to see what happens in court? What's your guess on this?
Well, what distinguishes Antonio Brown's legal matter is that he hasn't been accused of a crime. There hasn't been a filing of a police report, no in police or criminal investigation. This is simply the filing of a civil lawsuit in which the remedy is only money damages. And never before has the National Football League exerted or imposed either the exempt list as a sort of a penalty box for the time being, or suspended a player based on nothing other than a civil lawsuit. So this would be brand new territory for the National Football League if they use this case to impose any discipline on Antonio Brown. And what I suspect the league will be doing here is conducting its own parallel investigation at the same time that the civil lawsuit is proceeding, and potentially at the same time that a district attorney in Pennsylvania will be examining this. So Antonio Brown may have to fight in three different legal fronts to clear his name.
So right now, no police have charged. This is just her suggesting that, you know, all these have different things over time. Because I thought I read the report saying that she accused him of raping her on some third time that they were together. So,
well, that's right. But there's the issue of their relationship, which really transcended the evening in question. They've known each other since college and have had a relationship which has spanned many years. So ultimately, this is going to come down to the issue of whether or not there was consent involved. And that's a factual question that a jury will have to resolve.
Yeah. Okay. So very, very different case in this one. When you look at it, has another athlete had a similar one to this where it's just civil? And what was the NFL's reaction to that?
Never before. Adrian Peterson was a criminal investigation out of Texas for, you know, hitting his child. That was a criminal case. Ray Rice arose in the context of a criminal investigation. I think he was not prosecuted, but the NFL used that as the basis for imposing, you know, their own sense of discipline. In all other known instances where players were accused of or suspended for any kind of domestic violence or violence off the field, there was usually some parallel or precedent criminal matter or investigation. This would be the first time that the filing of a civil lawsuit has given rise to those types of, you know, disciplinary consequences. And the closest parallel that I could think of is Derrick Rose, the NBA player,
yeah,
who was accused of sexual assault in a civil lawsuit, and the NBA didn't discipline him or suspend him. They waited for the civil case to wind to a conclusion, and as you may recall, Derrick Rose was absolved by a federal jury. So that's a perfect comparison. Had Rose been suspended or placed on an exempt list, he would have been punished for something that a jury found that he did not commit.
So what's going to happen moving forward then for Antonio Brown on a legal perspective? The NFL obviously will kind of wait to see what the court decides. And if they find him guilty, then I assume the NFL would react?
Well, it's not going to happen in that kind of short order. The civil most civil cases that are filed in the federal court system in the United States could take anywhere from 1 year to 2 years at a minimum to resolve. So there won't be a jury trial in the Antonio Brown civil lawsuit until 2021 at the earliest, possibly or potentially at the end of next year. The NFL has to conduct or will conduct its own investigation and arrive at its own search for the truth. And the problem or the downside for Antonio Brown is that he has to have three sets of lawyers, one to deal with the NFL in New York, one to defend him in a potential criminal proceeding in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I think the district attorney's office is looking into these allegations. And he has to have a third group of attorneys represent him in the Florida federal civil case. Oh. So Antonio Brown's legal quagmire is multiplied by three, and he will have to deal with not only two parallel investigations, but potentially three.
Daniel Wallach joins us, the Athletic's legal analyst and contributor on the Conduct Detrimental podcast. Daniel, that's very interesting. Three sets of lawyers, never even thought of that. But when you look at what the NFL has done in their investigations of players, has it gotten better? Do you believe it's been a good investigation when they do their own internal investigations?
No, if anything, it worsens each and every time. Because the NFL seemingly has a predetermined outcome in mind for so many of the high-profile investigations. Peterson, Brady, Ray Rice. It seems that the league seems to bend to public will, public relations, and sponsorships and sponsors. And the league considers public relations issues almost on the same wavelength as the actual merits of what the accusations involve. So I think the league's approach to investigation is, the search or for evidence to hang their hat on a predetermined outcome. So I don't know that the league has figured out a way to give players due process and, more importantly, confidence in the outcome of these investigations. It seems to me that the league goes heavy-handed on a player who refuses to cooperate where the witness or the victim testifies. And in cases where the victim doesn't testify and the player cooperates, the player gets a lesser suspension. So I think the league's sense of discipline correlates to the amount of cooperation that the player provides, coupled with the absence of the accuser's testimony. And the problem that the player faces in the NFL justice system is that they don't get a chance to cross-examine the accusing witness. Mm-hmm. In court, Antonio Brown's lawyers will have every opportunity to take the deposition of Ms. Taylor and cross-examine her in a trial. In the NFL investigation, the player has no seat at the table to contradict or cross-examine the person who's accusing him.
So should they just keep their nose out of it, or should they find out a way to do it properly?
I think the league should follow the cue of the NBA and essentially outsource a lot of these issues to independent arbitrators. I think the NHL and Major League Baseball have made very good use of the independent arbitration system to deal with conduct detrimental issues. The NFL, by contrast, wants to place Roger Goodell in the position of being the fact finder, the judge, the appellate judge, and the sentencer. And it's essentially one person acting in each of those roles. And I think it leads to inconsistent results, and it leads to outcomes that cave to public pressure.
That's, it's an interesting one because a lot of people look, and a business can, every business that's private, if they want to make certain levels of conduct. We just saw Antonio Brown and the Oakland Raiders allowed to cut him because of conduct detrimental to the team, although clearly it seems like that's what he wanted all along. But businesses have that. Should the NFL be harsher, demand more from their players, or do you think that overall they do a good job of overseeing the actions of the majority of their players away from football?
I think the NFL comes to the issue with too heavy of a hand, and in the last 5 years, I think players have been disciplined and suspended in record numbers during Roger Goodell's reign as commissioner. The NFL has taken this issue of conduct detrimental to the absolute extreme, and I think brings too heavy of a hand to the issue of discipline and really places, creates a credibility, gap within the NFL, and that players and fans and, many segments of the media don't have confidence in the, in the NFL's, justice system. So if you look at the NFL going back 10 years during Paul Tagliabue's reign, during Pete Rozelle's reign, you didn't have issues like this. But it seems today that the collective bargaining agreement vests so much authority in the commissioner, and with every successive legal case that's decided in the NFL's favor, such as Adrian Peterson, Tom Brady, the commissioner's powers get wider and wider, and he can do whatever he wants under the guise of conduct detrimental without having to worry about a court overturning his decision. So that creates absolute power, and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
It's a really interesting take, Daniel. Do you see that changing then in the future?
No, because ultimately the players, when they go back to the bargaining table in 2020, aren't going to want to give up other economic benefits or the potential for other economic benefits, basically to have a more even-handed justice system that only impacts a small percentage of the players. These high-profile cases get a lot of media attention, but compared to the whole NFL population, really only impacts a very small percentage of the players. And when it comes to salaries, guarantees, benefits, medical protections, the players have, as a whole, have a higher sense. They have other priorities that take precedence over the justice system. So to get, the players are going to have to give, and that's where hard choices are going to have to get made. And the players are going to have to decide if having an even-handed system with independent arbitration is worth having to cave in another area and perhaps give back some economic benefits, which they've been giving back negotiation after negotiation after negotiation. I don't think there's that much more to give back.
Daniel, one last one. When you look at Antonio Brown's actions to get out of his contract, and I know that the Raiders essentially had to release him, but you'd read all the reports that maybe he got some social media experts and how to go about it. Is that a precedent that you think will be followed, or is this just a very unique situation?
Well, he got away with it first time. Shame on me if I allow it to happen. The next player who tries to do that will probably be made an example of. Antonio Brown is a very unique situation where he worked the system and took advantage of the sort of the chaos that surrounds the Oakland Raiders. If he had done that or tried to do that to the New England Patriots, forget it. The next time a player tries to do this, I don't think he'll be able to work the system as easily as Antonio Brown did. That's a unique case. And it seems to me that the entire time Antonio Brown was acting the way he was acting with the intent of landing with the New England Patriots. So he could have committed conduct detrimental to the game just by trying to break his contract. So I'm not sure that that's a path that would be available to too many other players other than Antonio Brown.
Really appreciate your time, Daniel. Thanks for this.
My pleasure. Thanks again for having me on, Jason, and say hi to the other Jason as well.